Welcome and thank you for listening to today's episode of the Auburn Daily Podcast. As always, it is your host, Memes, jumping on the mic today to go over it. This is going to be a solo episode, also going to be a little bit shorter, perfect for a commute, and a very, very simple but very topical question and discussion for today. What does Auburn need to do to win the bye week? So my original show notes and planning out for this episode, I actually tried to like do these in some sort of like order of most important to least important. And there was a lot of like internal argument of like, oh, that should be over that. Oh, no, about this. Oop, totally forgot about that. And long story short, it didn't work. So we're not going to really do these in any sort of particular order. This is going to be kind of a big picture, lay everything out on the plate. And when the coaching staff listens to this episode, we'll let them actually try to decide what order they want to prioritize this stuff. So jumping right into it, I think your first thing, and I could argue this one's actually pretty important. This is going to be pretty obvious. This is not going to be a very original take, but it's pretty much a no-duh across the board. So we'll just get it out of the way, get the elephant in the room through the door, and that's going to be get healthy. This team has been banged up, some injuries more severe than others, some that we may not even necessarily be super privy to, some guys who might be coming back sooner than expected, and guys who just need to heal up from longer-term injuries that they had sustained. So we want to get everybody healthy. And of course, I think with that too, not only just on the injury side, but I think just rested, and not only physically, but mentally. And I don't think there's enough talk about mental health for players and just having this time where they can decompress mentally, not have to worry with the stress of having a game. Maybe some guys who live close by can go home or other families can come in town and visit or whatever it may be. Just allow them to have that time to just not have to worry about with the grind. And I'm emphasizing a lot more of that physically, a lot more of that mentally than physically, because I think so many people really hype on the physical aspect of this, but forget just how important the mental side of this is to players, and then honestly, the coaches as well. So, what would be the next side of this? Well, I think on this, well, what do you have a chance to do from the coaching standpoint? Well, that would be jump on the recruiting bandwagon. If nothing else, the biggest victory from this past weekend with Georgia was the recruiting W's and momentum and just that massive, massive list of guys that they had packed out in the stadium. Pick up the phone, call all those guys. Hop in the car, go hit up high school games. A bunch of good high school games this weekend. Coaches will be sent out all over the place. So get that recruiting momentum going as well. And that may be a well-no-duh, but hey, what will really turn the tides of the momentum and get the narrative shifted right in Auburn's direction than a big recruiting win? Get a commitment in there, maybe get some buzz around some guys, maybe get a chance to contact some guys that are committed to other schools and start working on the flip before Flipmas. And honestly, looking over the schedule, I think the bye week actually falls into a really good place strategically now that we're starting to see how the season pans out. Really going to be getting into a tough gauntlet of SEC play. You got it before, I think it's pretty safe to say, your toughest away game of the season. So that worked out very, very fortunate for Auburn there. And then also, too, where Auburn's struggles have been, have obviously been on the offensive side, if you're looking at all things as a whole. But where have LSU's struggles been right now? And that has been a very, very, very bad defense for the caliber and expectation of how good LSU could and should be. And that is by far their weak point, and we saw that exponentially exploited with what Ole Miss did to them. So that is a massive opportunity for the coaches to sit there and have 2 weeks to really pick this thing apart and say, okay, what can we really do to exploit this defense? And LSU's got a game. They got to play Missouri this weekend. So it's not like LSU exactly has the luxury of getting to kick back and fix the holes in their defense in real time while they've still got a game prep for both of the SEC Tigers. Well, that is where Auburn can really, really work on some of those offensive issues. And hopefully, just hopefully, that the holes in LSU's defense can actually allow them to, one, be exploited to where they can actually say, oh, we can do this, this, and that, and then actually get a game plan to form that identity. We're going to talk about identity in just a second. Don't want to go too far into that. But naturally, getting that extra time to face a division, RIP, rival, and do it in, on the road, and just, I don't think it's going to happen, but just for conversation's sake, boog a little bit here. Maybe get a W in Baton Rouge before the SEC West goes poof, and you're not playing LSU every single year. And do it and just I think the real victory in that is just having that win in Baton Rouge without having to think of it and be so synonymous with Brian Harsin, and before that Cole Kubelik smoking a cigar with Ben Leard. That would be awesome. I think everybody would really root for that. It would be obviously everybody would root for that. But just kind of given the narrative of where it was before, I think it would just be kind of nice to turn the page. Like, we're always happy to win. Always happy to win in Baton Rouge. That has been obviously a massive monkey on Auburn's back that they finally shook off. And then if you do it two times in a row, that is a big statement, especially considering the fact that it took you two decades to do it prior. Do I think it's going to happen? Like I said, I don't necessarily think so. But you got a weak defense versus a weak offense. But let's look at it too. You're also going into that game at 6:30 kickoff. And I said this, I'm going to say it again. LSU at 6:30 at night versus Auburn is going to be louder than Texas A&M and Kyle Field at 11 a.m. and Cal at whatever time that was, Central Time, combined. So that's something that this team and Peyton Thorne have got to be ready for. And you got to sit there, scratch your head, said, well, Peyton Thorne's played in these hostile environments in the Big Ten, so he's been ready here. Away, really only real away game we've really seen out of him were obviously Cal and A&M. His biggest struggle games were the two of those. So he's got to come out there and stay the identity. Can he differentiate if he's going to be the guy moving forward? Can he be more steady on the road compared to how he is at home? Like, can he even that out and not make there have such a disparity for the difference of play? And that's been something Auburn has struggled with for years with a lot of quarterbacks. You definitely saw it with Bo Nix, and you thought a guy with as much experience as Peyton Thorne would not have that type of struggle. So what he has got to do, and I think what the team has to prepare them to do as far as what they can do in the bye week, you got an ample amount of time to shake off whatever jitters, get whatever game plan together, mental rest, preparation, physical, whatever it may be, to go in there with his head screwed on as tight as it can possibly be to turn the page of that narrative. That would be the best case scenario. Win or lose this game, I think you look at one just other aspect of talking about winning the bye week, getting another monkey off your back. Can Peyton Thorne show that he is cool and collected on the road? Are we going to have another situation where an Auburn quarterback is Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde home and away? That would be a massive win. Even if you don't necessarily win the game, if Peyton Thorne could take that stride, if nothing else, forward. But while we're on the topic of Peyton Thorne, let's just talk about him as well, and then that'll bring us into the offense for times to win the offense. Win the offense, yes. But we're trying to win the bye week. Get Peyton Thorne right mentally, because I don't think the things he's struggling with are skill. I don't think it's any physical aspects. He's got the intangibles. He's shown it. There's something mental he's got to shake off here. Yes, I've been critical of Peyton Thorne. That's no shock. Do I think that a guy with as much experience as him is beyond salvaging? I do not think so. You can definitely get there. I will say, if it doesn't happen after the LSU game, then we're going to have to start having some conversations across the board. And honestly, I hate it for him, because Baton Rouge is not a friendly place in these type situations. But on the flip side of that coin, if he shows he can do it in Baton Rouge, then we've turned the ship around and we're moving in the right direction. Because ain't many more hostile environments to play in than that. Now let's go to the offense here. There's been a lot of talk surrounded around offensive identity. What is the offensive identity of this team? Oh, we're starting to see and form the offensive identity. A lot of debate there. I don't necessarily personally believe, as I have stated, with the passing game being what it has been, especially against Power 5 teams, that is an offensive identity that we can really hang our hat on. I think they've got to find out something that you can prove that you can win games. Because a 70-30 rush to pass ratio, I don't necessarily think that is going to be a sustainable formula for winning games, especially when it comes to the point where you've actually got to lean on the arm of your quarterback and lean on the hands of your receivers and tight ends to start making these plays. So whatever their identity is going to be, whatever trickery, whether they start incorporating the RPOs more in there, whatever these decisions are going to be, and you can't just ask it in a press conference, but I think if we're all reading between the lines, it seems like there's some tug of war going on between Freeze and Montgomery for kind of what the direction, what the identity, what the play calls, the game plans, et cetera, are going to be for this team. And I think every time he's been asked that, And Hugh Freeze has been pretty honest at press conferences, but I think that's where we start to get a little bit more of the coach speaking there. That's something they got to figure out, and this is a great time to do it. You got 5 games worth of film against various levels of competition, home and away, and the number one team in the nation. They've got enough to work with on the plate where I think they can really sit down. They don't have to have the distractions of a game plan to figure out what they need to do different. You can look back in retrospect, and you have the time to do that. Work with the team and figure things out without having to worry about what game is coming in the next 6 days. So that right there would be a massive win if we can really start kind of putting those pieces together and putting them together in a direction. Do I think they've got something there? Absolutely. Do I think the way that it is and the pace that it's going right now is enough, fast enough to have a season that we can look back on and feel like, yeah, that was a season where we really took a nice stride forward? I don't think so. Now, with the bye week, though, that could completely change it. This has got to be a bye week where the light goes on. Arguably, this could be one of the most important bye weeks. This is a massive crossroads for Auburn. Because if some of these things don't start clicking, it is going to be a rough few games after this. LSU is going to be chomping at the bit for this win, especially after what happened with Ole Miss. They want to stay in the driver's seat of the West. They're going to have a tough game with Alabama coming up here soon. That if they beat Alabama, they can be right back. They can be right back in this thing. So LSU's still playing for some big picture stuff. This game matters. Auburn is playing for momentum as well. They don't want to lose. Auburn don't want to lose any game. But there's a lot of implications for all these teams of different reasons. It's an important one. But if Auburn doesn't get this stuff right with LSU, then Ole Miss can be chomping at the bit as well. They've got a lot to play for. They've got a lot to prove. So, long way of saying it doesn't get any easier. And the offensive side of things have by far been the biggest struggle for this team. And then we'll zoom in a little bit more and just talk position groups. Obviously, the narrative coming out of Georgia is what the heck has been going on with these receivers. And yes, I've been saying this phrase a lot. There hadn't been a lot of clutch in this team. Nobody is making the clutch plays. We're not seeing that, minus the great catch from Rivaldo, the Cal game, that good drive they had there. But that was one play, one drive. And then I'm not really going to count for what we saw with UMass and Stanford. Sorry, great games, but the cupcake games are not going to be a great representation that really scales to what's going to happen versus Power 5 and SEC. So I'm going to be omitting those just for conversation's sake, because if we looked at that, then how in the world did Auburn beat 50-plus points on Alabama State in 2012 in the middle of a shutout from Alabama and Georgia? Because what you do those games does not, unfortunately, scale up to what you're going to do against SEC talent. So we're going to keep it here versus the Power 5. There hadn't been any clutch. So back to the clutch. Gotta have somebody who decides, I'm going to make the tough play despite the odds, despite the coverage, whatever it is, and just try to be on SportsCenter. Like, that should just be the goal. Do the thing that gets you on SportsCenter. Make the one-handed grab. Get the body control. Actually come down with the ball that was legitimately a pass interference call. We haven't seen any of that. Like, Rivaldo's like the guy-ish. Jay Fair's made a lot of great consistent plays, but that Jay Fair has not made just a massive game-changing clutch up. That's why he's that guy. He's Mr. Consistent. He hasn't been Mr. Clutch. We've got to find somebody to be that too. Peyton Thorne's got to play like he's got ice water in his veins, not like he's playing in quicksand blindfolded. Already talked about Peyton Thorne enough as it is, but that's something that somebody on offense has got to do too. I don't think the running situation's going to be, I think that's going to be fine. It's kind of tough to expect, all right, is the running back going to bust out and pull a Leonard Fournette and just bulldoze the guy? We don't have that guy on this team. I think there's been enough consistency in the running back room and enough proven depth that we're fine there. Don't know how you can realistically look in that running back room and say, hey guys, this is what y'all need to do in the bye week. They've been fine. I don't think that take's going to surprise anybody. But the receivers and the tight ends. And the line, I mean, the line has its issues, but it is far improved from what it was last year, both run and passing. Run and pass blocking, excuse me. So they're good. It's going to be the wide receivers, the tough story from Georgia. They've got to find out who's doing what. And I think you got to look at the outside receiver and say, hey, this is y'all's show here. You guys have not been stepping up to the plate. Somebody, we need to do something different in the rotation, something different with the scheme. I'm not going to get into the technicalities of it. I'm not a coach. I'm not going to break it down that hard. I'm going to keep it very vanilla with this. Something has got to change with the receivers, specifically outside. And I don't know what drills you can do. I don't know if you got to sit Marcus Davis down and say, hey, we got to burn this thing and start from scratch. But that's got to happen, and it's got to happen now. Because if it doesn't change this weekend, I don't realistically see how this starts turning around for the offseason. But I think you've got enough, hey, this is what's wrong. This is what we're doing wrong. I don't know if you have enough, this is what we're doing right. But it's kind of do or die at this point. I mean, it's about to be game six in the heat of SEC play. So winning the bye week there would be the receivers getting some type of sync with the quarterback, changing something up to where they can get that right. And the narrative of, well, this was the receiver's problem, that's over with. Rather than scheming guys open, running simpler routes or indifference, I don't know. Like I said, not getting technical with it. But I don't want to see a play that is up and it is a catchable ball and they just can't come down with it, especially in a key moment in a game where you're looking at guys like, that was the third and long play to get us the touchdown, to keep the touchdown drive alive that we got to have late in the game. It hit you. You could have, yeah, you covered, but it got you. You could have come down with it and you didn't. And we got to have that play. The guys are going to make plays. Simple enough as that. Now, I'm not paid $6 million a year, so I'm not going to be, well, you just got to do X, Y, and Z, and then that's how they get there. The coaches figure that out. It's got to happen if you don't want to see the wins coming. Or just, you know, see a balanced team to be competitive. Anything. And then with Thorne, I don't want to see any more wide receivers wide open and he's not getting them the ball. Or he's throwing the ball to the complete wrong person who's in double coverage and not getting it. That sort of stuff. And like I said, they got a lot of time to look at the film. And yes, this is going to be a big emphasis on winning the bye week. But just figuring that out. Get to the identity, see what you're going to run, the RPOs. And then Hugh Freeze did mention the stuff about Robbie, about potentially using him more in the packages. And I thought what they did with him against Georgia was perfect. Robbie got a touchdown. He had positive plays. He had good balance. He admitted probably could have used him more. So I think what they were doing against UMass and Cal was too much. That was too much rotation. I think you got a little too hot with it. And I think, I'm not going to say you got cold, because I think in hindsight, you can always look back in Georgia and say, well, you know, Robbie was killing it. Why'd you take him out? I thought it was good. You're always going to say you could leave him more because he was hot. He was on fire. He hadn't been stopped yet. But it's definitely, you can't look at that and say, well, because you were subbing out Robbie too much, Peyton and the receivers couldn't get in rhythm. I think Peyton and the receivers couldn't get in rhythm because he had so few pass attempts the first half of the game, which I think would have been detrimental in the second half when you actually had to lean upon that pass game and you just hadn't kind of gotten everybody warmed up. You hadn't gotten that chemistry established. So whatever they're going to do with the game plan, get it to where it just seems, I don't know, maybe get something to where you can get over 100 yards in Baton Rouge. I know that's an incredibly low bar, but get 100 yards with a decent pass percentage. Get the wide receivers ball. Get the ball to the wide receivers and just see if they can make a play. All right, enough about the wide receivers. Going to get me ranting. On to the next thing that you can do to win this bye week. This is going to be a little bit of a short tidbit, and this can be probably more so in the offense, but it can be taken to other aspects of the game. Use this to maybe implement something new. Try to get something in there to mix it up. Maybe it's a different package. Maybe it's a different some trick plays in there, some different formations. Not too much. We're not trying to reinvent the wheel here, but try to use this to get something that hasn't been on film yet and maybe can just spark the team or a position group into just getting some momentum. This is the time to do it. And heck, if there's going to be an opponent to throw them off guard, let's do it against LSU. Implement something else new in there. And jumping a little bit more to the defensive side of the ball, and it's tough to say this because, I mean, Georgia's really good. That's no secret. Georgia's offensive line is good. And the defense, even as the defense has been banged up a little bit, one thing that I just don't think you can critique, they played a heck of a game. I'm not going to be holding against them what happened with Bowers. That's a talented team. Beck had all day to throw. You give him that much time, with the talent of Bowers, they're going to connect on there, especially late in the game. And, you know, people don't realize it was kind of hot. Like, it was definitely, for an October game, it was a little toasty on that field for a 2:30 kickoff. But as I kind of forementioned, Beck having all day to throw, would love to see somebody step up and just start getting a little bit more consistent pass rusher. Who's that guy going to be? And I've kind of said the word clutch a lot here. And what is more clutch than somebody coming in with just a game-changing sack to just knock them back and take the wind out of their sails? So we know LSU loves to air the ball around. Daniels is leading the SEC, and he's one of the top in the country for yards passing. So they got some weapons on that side of the ball. That's no secret. Well, yeah, Auburn secondary's their strength, but disrupting him, getting back there to establish that. And I mean, Roberts, what he said his strength was going to be, he's most definitely lived up to it. So let's see if they can continue that going. And I kind of said try some different things, but maybe they can try some different things to throw him off. And that's a guy who Auburn definitely needs to have thrown off. And I'm not going to say this would be a thing to win the bye week. I'll just say continue doing exactly what you're doing here. But this team is getting turnovers. And that's something that Auburn's defense has struggled with in years past, is getting turnovers. So, yeah, you guys keep that up. Whatever they're doing in drills, whatever they're putting in the water, the sports drinks, whatever, it's working. And that has been a difference. I had mentioned this on when I was a guest show with Mike G for the Auburn Express. Three of Auburn's touchdowns this year, first Power Five schools, had come from turnovers. So not only is Auburn getting turnovers, the defense getting turnovers for the offense, but the offense is capitalizing on them. And in the past, you couldn't have said that about necessarily all of Auburn's offenses. So to give the offense one bit of credit, they are capitalizing on opportunities when they are given them. One thing I will say they need to start doing is they need to start creating their own opportunities. That, I think, is where the big struggle has come from. And the last thing that Auburn can do to win the bye week is, this is a message for the fans. I think everybody, and this is going to be good, everybody can take a deep breath and breathe. Everybody has been on the edge of their seats. It's definitely been a little bit of an emotional roller coaster. There have been some struggles, and it is tough when you are let down on things that you thought were going to be strengths and or expectations were not met with the team. And I'm obviously leaning a little bit more on the offensive side there. What we can take solace in is that the players and coaches are doing everything they can, because trust me, nobody wants this more than they do. So to win the bye week, everybody who's listening to this show gets this message. Tell other people this message. Let's just breathe. Let's just enjoy a team that we like rooting against losing. There are win-win matchups here. There are two teams playing each other where you're saying, you know what the good news is about this game? One team I don't like is going to lose. So we get that luxury this weekend. It's going to be a great thing for all the fans watching the games this weekend. Because guess what? On a bye week, the best news for everybody, Auburn can't lose. But the good news is, there's a lot of things that they can do in this time to win and take good steps forward. And you know what? That is what they're going to do, because nobody wants this more than them. And it is a bye week. And you know what the good news is for everybody listening to the show? What you can do in a bye week, your Saturdays are free now. You're not having to watch Auburn football. No stress this week. But you probably had some stress built up from the season. Well, this is the perfect time, if you're in the Auburn Opelika area, to check out Opelika Rage Room. As I said earlier, there's probably a thing or two that this team did to stress you out. Go to their website, opelikaragerum.com, to book a session. Get in a rage room. If you don't know what a rage room is, it's exactly like it sounds. You go into a room, you get bats, hammers, all sorts of stuff. You get a table full of things, and you just smash it. You beat it to pieces. If you're in the Birmingham area, they have a second location there as well, the Birmingham Rage Room. That is two locations to let your rage out on a Saturday where you don't have to do any stressing over Auburn football. And you know what? That is going to be a perfect transition to just reset and get you ready for the rest of the season. Check them out on social media at Opelika Rage Room and opelikaragerum.com, or birminghamragerum.com, Birmingham Rage Room on social media. For either of those locations, it is a great time to spend with friends or family. And thank you so much for sponsoring this show. Well, that is going to conclude it for this episode today. And we will be back at you with some other stuff to help you win the bye week and get through the bye week. And then you'll blink and LSU will be here in no time. And we will be recapping and previewing what is going to be the keys to that game. Thank you guys so much for listening. And we will be with you next time. Have a good day.